If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'm going to ask that you open to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 16. And for those of you learning the 66 books, you should be able to find that one. Right? Samuel King's Chronicles. All right. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 16. Go ahead and stay seated just for a few minutes. We were talking this morning about and looking at the job of the deacon, and one of the jobs of the pastor is to be time in prayer and seeking God's word, and where would you have us to go, and what's the message that you have for us. And as I was praying and seeking, and I was talking with Donna this last week, we were talking about on Sunday nights, we've been kind of preaching around our theme. And it's this banner that's hanging up here behind me, that we're desiring 2020 vision. Lord, I want to see your word the way you do. I want to see my life the way you do, and help me to fix the things that need to be fixed. Amen. And the verse that we've selected to go with that is over in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes. Peel the world off my eyes so I can see the way you see, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Don and I were talking about that and going, wow, you know, we talk about wondrous things. So I grabbed my Strong's and I started looking, and I looked up that Hebrew word for wondrous things. And I won't try to pronounce it. I struggle with that, but I looked up the definition, and it says to separate, or example, to distinguish, something specific. Show me something specific in your word. Show me something that I haven't seen. It also talks about things that are wonderful, things that are hidden, things that are marvelous in your word. That Hebrew word appears 73 times in the Old Testament in 69 verses. And so I started going through and reading each of the verses that word shows up in. It starts off over in Genesis, and I read there, and it's got some other places that it shows up. And I got over here to 1 Chronicles, and that word appears 3 times in this one chapter. I was like, huh. And I started looking at the verses, and I could already see, wow. Turn my Bible over and start reading the chapter. I'm going, man, this is great. Let me give you a little background, a little history here of where we are in the story here at 1 Chronicles 16. If we back up to 1 Chronicles 13, where we see is David. The Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant and taken it down into where they had it. And David goes to try to move the Ark of the Covenant back up to Jerusalem. And you might remember the passage where they're moving it on an ox cart. Oops. I know there's some studies. You can do some studies on the music, because I don't think they had the music right either, but that's all right. It starts kind of weebling and wobbling on that ox cart. You know the story. And Uzzah reaches up and tries to steady it, and he's struck dead. That's over in 1 Chronicles 13. 1 Chronicles 14, David and his army go and defeat the Philistines twice. Cool. David just had something for the Philistines, didn't he? Started with Goliath as a teenager, but we won't get into that. Chapter 15, they start making preparations and practicing and getting ready to move the ark the right way. Moving it with the Levites that are carrying the ark, and sacrifices and praise and worship as they're moving the ark. And through chapter 15, they go down, and the ark had stayed 3 months down at the house of Obed-Edom. And they go down and they get the ark, and the Levites are carrying it, and the people are singing, the people are praising as we're coming through chapter 15, as they start coming into the city of Jerusalem. And here in chapter 16, kind of where the story picks up, they've now arrived back at the city of Jerusalem. And David had prepared a tent. Keep in mind, the temple hadn't been built yet, but he had prepared a tent to house the Ark of the Covenant. And as they start bringing it in, as they're bringing it in and placing it and setting it in this tent, David turns over to Asaph. Some of you studying Faith Bible might recognize that name. And he says, Asaph, here's a psalm of thanksgiving in celebrating bringing the ark back into Jerusalem. Let's pick this up, this psalm up here. Drop down about verse 9. We'll pick it up there. And if you would, go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. Just a couple of verses. I'm going to start in verse number 9 of chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 9. And it says, sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Wow. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for tonight. Father, thank You for these wondrous works that You have done. Father, help us to glean and to grow and to be encouraged through Your Word tonight. Father, we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, you probably heard two of them there. And we'll get to the third one a little bit later. But there about verse number 9, he starts talking about it. And the thing that comes to my mind here is, as I look at this, is my point is I want to celebrate what God, the wonderful things that God has done. Amen? That's what this psalm is saying. Psalm 9, or verse 9, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. And that Hebrew word for talk literally means to ponder, to meditate, to utter. It actually talks about conversing with oneself. Talking to yourself. I know they have medication for that, right? Actually, I think you're okay if you talk to yourself. It's when you start answering yourself you get into trouble. Amen? But literally to talk to ourselves, to ponder, to meditate on the wonderful things of God. And as I think back throughout the Bible, oh, I tell you what, there's some wondrous things that He's done. Amen. Amen. I think back, you know, every time you see through the Bible and the children of Israel are looking back at their history, they always kind of tell the same story, don't they? They tell the story of the Bible. And I'm reminded of some wondrous things. I think of where God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt through the 10 plagues. And He's got them down through the wilderness and down by the cliffs of Pirahirath, and they've got the Egyptian army coming down on the backside of them, and they've got them kind of pinned in here by the Red Sea. And I think about where they are. They're following this pillar of cloud. They're following this pillar of fire. There's been 10 miraculous signs that have brought them out of Egypt. And instead of going up the coastal route, God has led them down into this little kind of a pinpoint that's got them almost trapped in the land. The Israelites look over Moses and say, what, there wasn't enough graves in Egypt? You had to bring us out here? What does Moses say? Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. They're about Exodus chapter 14. And as I read that and looking at this, here, watch where we're going here. It tells me about verse 19 of that chapter that the angel of the Lord that was leading them, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire that was leading them, moved from in front of them around to behind them. That pillar of fire, that pillar of flame got between Israel and the problem. Amen? At this point, the Egyptians have darkness, the Israelites have light. We're in nighttime, by the way. It's dark outside. And you've got this pillar of fire that you can see by and they can't. Boy, isn't that wonderful. Sudden, Moses takes that rod, he lifts it up, and the Red Sea parts in front of them. Now, I know many of you have seen, we've all seen that movie with Charlton Heston, the Ten Commandments, and there's this little trickle and they're dodging the rocks. I don't think that was the case, because 2.5 million Israelites crossed the Red Sea in one night. Okay, that opening had to be like 5 miles across. And they went through on dry ground, I believe, kicking up dust. Now, I want you to get the picture of this, because as I'm looking at this wondrous thing that God is doing right here for Israel, it's at nighttime. The Bible says that the water rose up on heap. It was a wall on both sides. Now, there are no street lights. There's no headlights on the ox carts. There's no miner's camps. There's no ever-ready flashlights with LED bulbs. None of that's there. The only light is from this pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire doesn't lead across the Red Sea. The pillar of fire is standing behind them, between them and Egypt. As the children of Israel step out into the dry land to cross the Red Sea at night. As they are being delivered from the bondages of slavery that had held them for 430 years. Let's parallel what God has done for us. He has taken us from the bondages of sin, the bondages of slavery, and has made a way to deliver us from what has held us. And as I think about the children of Israel crossing that at night, the verse that comes to my mind is that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. I wonder how well the children of Israel could see visually across that Red Sea with the pillar of fire behind them. Now, I know the scripture says it was given them light, but can you imagine stepping out on faith? You've just watched the sea open up into walls on both sides as God has created one way of deliverance. Will you step out by faith? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Will you take out a step of faith in trusting in the way that He has made? The wondrous things that God has done. I think of the children of Israel. We'll keep following them as they head out through the wilderness and God provides the manna and the water. Every day for 40 years, their shoes don't even wear out. Their feet don't swell. Their clothes don't wear out for 40 years as God provides everything they need daily. The wondrous things that God does as He provides daily for us. I think of Jesus teaching over in Matthew, why are you worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on? Why are you worried about the day-to-day? God knows what you're needing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God provides the daily things we need, not just that salvation, but our day-to-day. What a wondrous thing He provides. I think of His grace that He provides to us. My grace is sufficient. Amen. Whether you're needing just a thimbleful or back the truck up, my grace is enough.
That's right.
Amen. As God is providing, and I look at what God has done for us. I look at all these wonderful, wonderful things. I think of the miracles of Jesus. As we look at it and think of his earthly ministry, He went around preaching and teaching in the synagogues and teaching on the hillsides and teaching people the principle, the application, the hands-on of the Word of God. But He also did a few miracles along the way. The blind receive sight.
That's right.
The deaf hear.
That's right.
The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. That's the poor have the gospel preached. The dead are raised.
That's right.
As He's taken someone like me who once was blind to the things of God, and now I can see.
Amen.
He has taken someone who was deaf to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and now I hear Him and understand Him. He has taken someone like me that was covered in the filth of leprosy, the filth of sin, and has washed me clean. Amen. The wondrous things that God has done.
That's good. Amen.
Oh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all the wonder of all His wondrous works.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, as He's taken one that was dead in trespasses and sin has raised me to new life. That's a miracle all in itself. Amen. Sing praises unto God. Talk of it. Meditate. Think about it. Consider it. Well, yeah, I got saved 20, 30, 40, however, 158 years ago and hadn't thought about it since. Something's wrong. Wait a minute. Think about what God has already done. Think about what He's done in your life and mine. Think about what He's done in our children's life, in our parents' life, in our siblings' life. Wow. Meditate on these things. Consider them. Verse 10 says, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. You ever meet someone that pretends to be a Christian? You'll hear wonderful phrases like, yep, got the mask on. Yep, preacher, just too blessed to be depressed. The problem is when you see their life outside of church, they're too depressed to be blessed. Oh, religion's just joyless. It's just a burden. Oh, we got to do this. Eeyore. You know, there's a joy that comes on our life when we are genuinely saved. When we truly come to know Him and we realize that we're no longer bound for hell. We're no longer separated from Him, but we're promised eternal life. We're promised streets of gold. Suddenly our worry becomes wonder. Rejoice in those that seek the Lord. I think of the Apostle Paul. Everywhere he went, the Apostle Paul shared his gospel, shared his message. Hey, man, I'm getting ahead of myself in my notes. But let them rejoice that seek the Lord. Think about what God has done and let your face show it. Hey, man. You know, you get people going around and you wouldn't want to come to church with me, would you? No. Yeah, come on. I know that bus will be here in a little bit. You ready to go to church? Not that one. Yeah, I've heard about that preacher over there. He's a bit of a lunatic, isn't he? Jesus says they've come, they may have life and life more abundantly. There's joy in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now you know why the squirrels just look at me funny when I come walking in. That guy's a nut. Amen. Amen. I wonder what would happen if more Christians, as we got out into society and handing out tracts, actually put a grin on our face because we're rejoicing. And it's not just on the surface, it's from the heart. Because of what God has done for us. Amen. Amen. This is David as they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant in and they've had victories over the Philistines and seeing God doing some wonderful things. And I say, man, think about all what God has already done. Think about all the things that He's done for us. And He says, the next part I see is to depend on Him. Lean on God on those wondrous things. Look at verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Weren't we talking about strength in Sunday school this morning?
Yeah, Samson.
Samson. And where did his strength come from? It came from trusting in the Lord. Do you realize the Lord has already given you everything you need to live godly?
Amen.
He's already given you everything you need to get victory in this life. If we'll simply trust Him for it, if we'll simply seek Him for His strength. I think of 1 John 4:4. Ye are children, or ye are of God, little children, and have overcome, past tense, overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? If He's already beat my problem, if He's already promised me a victory over it, if He already knows the solution, Why am I worried about it? I need to lean on His strength, not mine. My strength says I can't get it done. I'm going to run ragged and just not be able to catch up. I'm going to be behind everywhere I go. I'm going to struggle everywhere I go. But when I seek the Lord and His strength, we get through it. We get through it. And the next part of that verse tells us to seek His face continually. And I got to looking about that and seeking His face. Now, help me out here, husbands. Have you ever been across the house somewhere and the wife hollers out at you? And, you know, the noise in the house, you think you might have heard what she was saying, and you're trying to shout out a conversation back and forth, and it's really not coming together, okay? What are you doing Thursday? You're thirsty? Let me get you some water. What? We pray that way, don't we? Come on now. We pray that way. We get so focused and we're over here doing this and okay, well, I'm going to pray while I'm doing this. And we get distracted and we think we've got a good prayer life because we're hollering out across the room to God. It says to seek His face. You want to get into a conversation with somebody, look them in the eyes. Get face to face with them. By the way, that means in our prayer time, we need to turn off the world to get face to face with God. God, I want to make sure that I'm hearing You correctly. God, I want to make sure that as we're talking back and forth, that I'm expressing my love, my admiration for You, my praise for You. I'm bringing to You my need, and I'm seeking Your face. And one of the things we need to spend more time doing is praying. Watch and pray that you may that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. I have a little fun with that verse, and it's one that you know, I love talking with seniors because I'm not there yet, but I'm getting close. You know, we can no longer do the things we used to do because the mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know my mind says I'm still 20 and I can go out and go do the things I used to do, but my body's going, I can't quite get it done. Well, that verse talks about watching and praying that we don't enter into temptation because the spirit is willing to follow God, is looking to follow God and to get the victory over it, but the flesh falls into trouble. We need to watch. Be on guard and pray. God, as I'm facing the trouble, as I'm facing the issues, help me to get through it. Help me to keep my eyes focused on You. That's what that verse is talking about. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. That does not mean driving the car, that Jesus take the wheel. That's what happened, didn't it? And then you roll the car. Yeah. You were going, Jesus take the wheel. Yep.
I rolled and then my car rolled.
Rolled and flipped the car. It doesn't. That's not quite the pray without ceasing. Okay? The pray without ceasing is to be in a constant state of communication. I want to be on a first name basis with God. Amen?
Amen.
I want to be so familiar with His voice that as that Holy Spirit starts to prick my ears, and unfortunately we get caught up in the world and we don't seek His face continually. You know, God promises to answer our prayer if we'll ask Him. He does. Psalm 91:15, He shall call upon Me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. You know, all you got to do is ask God. I wonder what would happen with us as Christians if we would seek the Lord's strength and seek His face continually, depending on what He's done. He's already saved us. He saved us for a love relationship. Are you leaning on Him? Are you dependent on Him? Let's keep going here. How about applying what God has done? Look there with me at verse number 12. Remember. Stop right there at that first word. Remember. The Hebrew there, what that word's dealing with is to mark so that it's recognizable, to bring or to call into remembrance. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done. Oh, how we need to refresh our mind on what God has done in our life. Not just the Lord, thank you for salvation, but I tell you what, you want to hear how I got saved? Let me tell you how I got saved. And this is where I was getting a minute ago and got sidetracked with Paul. Everywhere he went, he told us, he gave his testimony. Amen. I find his testimony in several of his epistles. Here's, I was walking on the road and I was heading out to persecute the church and I was raising havoc in the church on the road to Damascus, and then I saw the light and it changed me. He'd love to tell people his testimony. Tell people your testimony. Not only will it encourage them, but it will encourage you by reminding you what God's already done. And so, yes, we can thank Him for our salvation. We can thank Him for saving an old wretched sinner like me. But we also need to remember the other things that He's blessed us with. Yeah, we've been over to the hospital. I can't even tell you how many times this last week we've been over here at one of the hospitals, usually Stormont, every day. You know, if you go over here to St. Francis in the parking garage, they've got a parking space set up specifically for clergy. Okay? And I know where that space is, and it's easy to get to, and there's usually one of the two is open. And so I don't mind going over to St. Francis. That's great. I know I can park at St. Francis. Stormont doesn't have that. And so you end up circling the parking lot trying to find a place to park. And, you know, well, I'll drop you off at the door and I'll see if I can find something between here and St. Francis, the other hospital, to park at Stormont. But you know, all this week, as I have pulled into the parking garage and looking for a space, there's been one up close, usually on the first row that I drive by. There's been a space. As I pull into a crowded parking lot, I was doing this. I was taking Nancy over to the hospital to see Gene the other day. And I'm in my truck, which doesn't, you know, it's not a little small thing. And we pulled into a parking lot that was crowded, and there's cars that are driving around trying to find a space. And as I came around that first corner, a van right on the end pulled out. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful things that you provide.
Amen.
Thank you for opening doors. Thank you for that reserved parking space. Amen. Thank you for the clouds breaking and no rain while I'm trying to walk from A to B. Thank you that the sidewalks are not frozen and we're going ice skating. I'm going to end up as a patient in the hospital instead of visiting one. Remember the marvelous works that God has done. He supplies things for us daily. And as we go to do that, as we go to remember, we get in the habit of thanking Him, of talking with Him, of sharing with Him. And we spend time in His Word. We spend time in the love letter because I want to get to know Him better. And that Holy Spirit starts reminding me of scriptures as we're heading up and talking with folks. And He brings up this scripture and that scripture, reminding me of His marvelous works. Remember His marvelous works, that verse said. His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. See, Lord, I thank you for the salvation that you have provided for me. Lord, I thank you for the day-to-day provision. Lord, I thank you for opening up parking spaces. And Lord, I thank you for paying my bills and supplying my need. But Lord, I know that there's a day coming that every knee will bow, that every tongue will confess. And I know that I'm going to have to stand before you one day and give an account for my idle words. I know I'm going to have to give an account of the wonderful things you've given me and what did I do with them. Oh, how much I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I know in my case, I'll probably hear, getting here, boy, we got to talk, right? But think of his wonderful judgments. Drop down with me to verse 15. Be mindful always of his covenant. Be mindful of his precepts. Be mindful of his promises. Be mindful of the things found in his word. Joshua 1:8 tells us, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Oh, Lord, help me to always be mindful. Help me to never get too busy to say, you know, yeah, we'll do our Bible reading tomorrow. I know, sometimes that happens. Sometimes that phone rings at 6 o'clock in the morning and that's my alarm clock and you hit the ground running. Welcome to ministry. And I can't wait to get back to the house to say, let's spend some time in the Word. Help me to be mindful. Help me to keep my mind always on your covenants. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 6, says, and these words which I've commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. Lord, help me not only just to simply spend time in your word, but Father, help me to apply the word and to teach others. Help me to encourage my family with your word. Help me to take it so that it's not just words on the page, but it's words in my life. Help me to be mindful always of your covenant. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. Let me ask you a question. Mathematicians, help me out here. How long is a generation? Just for grins and giggles, just for argument's sake, let's say a generation is 30 years. Can we get by with that? What is 1,000 times 30? 30,000. Do you mean that God doesn't forget his word? Do you mean his promises will never fail? If God says it and he's given us his word to 1,000 generations, 30,000 years from now, his word's still going to be as true as it is today? Amen. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. God never forgets his promises. Are we applying the word? Are we allowing it to change our lives? The third point I want to make, and drop down with me to verse 23. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen. His marvelous works, there's our word we were looking for, among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, little g. For all the gods, little g, of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. We need to share the wonderful things that God has done. Verse 23 tells us to show forth from day to day His salvation. That word show literally means to announce, to preach, to tell, to publish. Go tell somebody of the marvelous things of God. Go tell people what He's done in your life. Go share with people what He can do in theirs. Amen. As I look at this verse, there was something that jumped out at me. Verse 24 says to declare, recount, go tell out among the heathen, the foreigners, the Gentiles, those that are not Jew. Keep in mind, David reigned as king of Israel at about 1,000 or so B.C., about 1,000 years before the earthly ministry of Christ, and the children of Israel were told to go tell the lost Gentiles about the marvelous works of God. The gods they're serving are just idols, but there is one true God. The one that created it all. We see people today, if that's what they were told 1,000 years ago, what should we do today? Amen? Same thing. Go share with folks. There are people that will look for satisfaction in any little G God they can find. Burnt offerings to a little G God. Drink offerings to a little G God. And it won't satisfy. Leaves them hungry. There's one true God that satisfies. I think of Whitley sharing with going soul winning out there at Washburn and talking with her friends about the fact they had a God-shaped hole. Trying to fill it with things that won't satisfy, but God will. And we need to share the marvelous things that God has done. So as I look at this passage, looking at this, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm reminded of my salvation, reminded of the miracle that took place in my life when He took an old wretched sinner and saved him by grace. I think of the wonderful things that He has done throughout my life as He has guided and shaped and directed me and protected me as I have gone. I think of daily as He continues to take care of me as we draw closer and closer in that love relationship. As I spend more time in His Word and more time on my knees. Looking forward to being in His presence. And as I head through this life, I want to find somebody else to share with the wonderful things, the marvelous things that God has done. Let's stand quietly for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for tonight. Father, thank You for the wondrous things in Your law. The wondrous promises that You have poured out on us. The marvelous provision that You supply us with. Father, that finished work of the cross and preparing the way of salvation for us. Father, that we can share with others to step out in faith, to trust You for it, to lean on those marvelous promises and the marvelous things in Your Word. Father, be with hearts here tonight. Father, be with families here tonight. Father, draw us back to the next appointed hour. And Father, between now and then, let us always be mindful of Your covenant and to bring to remembrance Your marvelous works. In Jesus' precious name, amen.